Bills GM Brandon Bean was a guest on the Jerry and Joe show.
Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe.
Dude,
Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe.
You're listening to
Jerry and Joe on WGRN Buffalo.
Hey, everybody. We're live at St. John Fisher. Jeremy and Joe.
What's up?
Famously dubbed.
No, Jerry and Joe today.
Jerry and Joe. It's a Jerry and Joe day. You can come hang out with us. We are, you know, it's not brisk. I don't want to say brisk. It's whatever.
It's nice. Or just it's nice.
It feels like there's a marine layer. If I could say that.
A marine layer.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like fog. You know, when you live near the coast, there's a wetness to it.
Sure.
Anyway, we are live at St. John Fisher.
Hazy.
And hey, sure. Yeah.
But that's because of the smoke.
That might be right, too. It's going to be in the 80s here in Rochester today for the Bills at training camp and pretty much forever. If you're looking like 10-day forecasts, that's what you get. So we're here hanging out. You can catch us on the YouTube stream. You can like and subscribe there and anything you need here. You know, we're good for you. Coming up on the show today, Bills general manager Brandon Bean at 7:30. Sal at 8. That is the list of guests today, and we'll have plenty to get to. There's, of course, injury news for the Buffalo Bills. Lots going on from the Battle of the Blue and Red. There's a preseason game on the way this week. They'll play the Chicago Bears and the entire NFL. They'll play the Giants, and the Bears are the following week. The entire NFL preseason ramps up Thursday. I know we had the Hall of Fame game, but now we're going to get to the rest of the teams playing in the preseason. That starts Thursday. And we, of course, have a James Cook story to monitor as well. So, here we go. The hold-in begins. The Bills listing yesterday a number of players missing from practice. It was long. The list was long last week. And after the Blue and Red, it seems like it got a lot longer. And significant players as well. The Bills are down a lot of receivers. They're down Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, high ankle sprain, which nobody likes to hear those three words together.
Nope.
So it's interesting, how the Cook thing came about. All these injured players, and then they get out to the field, and it's, you know, James Cook's in street clothes too.
Right.
And he's walking around with the head trainer. All right, I wonder what's going on there. Elena Getzenberg, ESPN, asks, hey, no practice?
Right.
And his response was, business.
Right.
So the hold-in begins.
Yep. Assuming there's no wiggle room on, it's definitely a hold-in, right? It's definitely a hold-in. Business couldn't be. I think would we have known or learned that this was true since that, hey, what if business just means the guy's in the final year of his contract, and if he's got anything that he's dealing with, he would, I don't know, say that is business?
Right.
Treat that as business? I tend to think that that's probably not the case, but I guess we could find out for sure from Brandon Bean a little bit later on this morning, so we won't have to wait too long for that. But I've left a little bit of room for business to him means I'm staying healthy.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be that they're –
because how weird would it be to hold in the middle of training camp? How often do you see that as opposed to – you're either not there at the beginning of camp or your hold-in starts. Whoever practices in full and is there to show up at the start of everything, mini camp and training camp, and then just randomly, you know, August hits and in the middle of camp, that's when the decision – I mean, unless there was like some breakdown and contract talks, I guess that could explain it. Because otherwise, it's kind of – it's strange. It's not how – it's just not what you typically see from these other situations around the league.
Yeah, it's not guys don't get to camp, practice, and then go away. The Bills have no yesterday at least had no comment on it. You know, we didn't find out until after practice. McDermott could have gotten out ahead of it if he knew.
Yeah,
you know, does practice start and he gets out there and sees what's going on with what James not wearing pads, not wearing a jersey. What's this about? So I don't know. Is it weird that I had the optimist's take right away, which was maybe they're really close, and he saw a bunch of guys get hurt in the last 7 days and thought, all right, now that we're right at the doorstep, I'm going to just wait until this thing is done. And trying to think of examples of that in other situations where, oh, yeah, yeah, we're close. I'm just going to make sure I'm not going to go out there and, you know, get a high ankle sprain right before I sign on the dotted line for $30 million guaranteed, blah, 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 blah. That's what I would do, right? I mean, maybe you would not be afraid of injury, but if I was getting closer and closer and closer,
right,
it would be now I have to be more and more and more careful. I'm thinking about a story way back when, I forget which, is Dan, who's the pitcher who tore it, who got Tommy John right after turning down a contract. Dan somebody. It's in Jeff Passan's book,
Ooh,
The Arm.
I don't remember.
Dan played for the Diamondbacks. Dan Heron? Does that sound right? Dan Heron?
Okay.
I don't know. It could be wrong.
Tommy John, though, is very different than, like, high ankle sprain, right? Like,
sure,
it would have
sure.
to be a devastating injury, I would think, to get a contract that was on the table basically thrown out.
Right, right.
Like, does a three-year deal that pays him $12.5 million a year go away if he gets a high ankle sprain tomorrow?
No, but the high ankle sprain is, you know, like Hairston dodging a bullet.
Right.
Right. With Hairston, we were afraid it was going to be some sort of season-ending ACL. Turns out, oh, it's only LCL. So the Bills have a lot of injuries, and so far they've only had scares. With Cook, again, it's just speculation that could you be closer? And
right.
there is a report, Tom Pelissero laid that out, that the two sides have been in constant contact and the feeling is not that far apart.
Right. Well, that was the feeling.
Sure. If you're not that far apart, is there one last ditch effort from either side to pull something back? Or I don't know. It's tough to know exactly the inner workings of it. I don't want to profess to know any more than I do because I don't. But I feel like the big story is James Cook not practicing, he's holding in.
Yes. Yeah.
Not that far behind is Tom Pelissero saying they're not far apart.
Right.
Because if they're not far apart, doesn't everybody have to, you have to kind of recalibrate your expectation out of this. You might have thought, what's James Cook doing? He's an idiot. He's not going to get anywhere on the Bills. But if they're not that far apart, we don't know what number he's come down to. We don't know what the number of the Bills are offering is. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's a deal that's going to find its way to getting done.
Maybe. I mean, it would imply something that I have not assumed, which is that there is an active negotiation going on, wouldn't it? That because I have wondered all along if the Bills have wanted to pay him at all. Like, give a look of, hey, we love you, we want to keep you around, and we're willing to offer you this and this, which are almost offers that make it look like you value him on the long term when in reality your goal is just to get him to play on the final year of the contract. But if you're not close, or if you are close, then that's not what that sounds like. That sounds like you have been in an active negotiation for months.
Which is kind of what Bean sounded like last time he talked.
Right.
He was talking about how if it's not him, it's someone else in the front office. He kind of painted a picture of constant contact.
Right.
And I feel like if you're far apart, you wouldn't have constant contact. So, all right.
Right.
Now you're constantly in contact. Now I've got Tom Pelissero reporting that the two sides are not far apart. So, okay. That to me is, again, not the bigger story. Pelissero's report there, I hadn't heard it until I heard Joe Marino reference it. And then we went looking for it, and there, you know, we found it. It wasn't a tweet. It was just something he said
right.
when updating that Cook was, in fact, not practicing. So, you know, like, I am.
It really could be either. Wouldn't most take away, though, that if you are not there, something negative has happened? That you either, you're not believing that the deal is going to get done, or maybe you were close and then something fell apart at the last second? Because that could happen, too. I mean, how often does a hold-in like this mean something positive? I'm not saying it can't be the case, but it would almost imply that maybe they were on the doorstep. I heard, was it Pelissero that said it was fourth and goal at
yeah.
the one?
Yeah.
I mean, one thing about fourth and goal at the one is if you don't get it, turnover. So did he think, all right, here we go, we're about to finalize on this deal, and then something got in the way of that? Like, because that, I feel like something, if you are close, something's got to spark you deciding I'm not practicing, if that right. indeed is what this is. So maybe that could be recovered, because really, that could even be a bad thing. I don't know how the Bills would take that. The Bills have never had that happen to them, have they?
No.
A player deciding, I'm sitting out of practice in training camp because of a contract situation. That has never happened to this regime for the Bills. I don't know how they're going to take that. Maybe they were fourth and goal at the one, and then Cook deciding, I'm not going to practice. Maybe that backs them up to the seven, because they don't like that way of business. So I think it does still kind of leave a lot of this in ambiguity, but I can't. It would be hard for me to believe that him deciding I'm not practicing is a good thing, even if the idea from Pelissero that they were close in the first place is a positive sign. So that's kind of where, like, oh, they were closer than I thought. I might end up back where I was in the first place, which is, okay, I didn't really think they were ever going to be that close. Oh, they were that close. Oh, but now he's not practicing. Oh, I guess I went forward and then right back to maybe where I was in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're not that far apart, again, no one would think that the Bills have come up close to 15, right? This isn't 13 right. versus 15. I don't think it's that. Could it be 11 versus 13? Could it be – I mean, if you're Cook, you're making 5.2 this year, and if your next contract doubles your pay and gets you good guarantees and you're off by 1.5, like maybe the Bills will – that's the other thing about this. Sorry, I'm distracted now here by this one thought, which is what is the Bills' move to lean on him? There isn't one.
Right.
He leans on them by sitting out. All right, doesn't have to work.
Right.
What's their move? Here's our offer. Oh, you know what? They could say, we're going to pull this offer by the end of the week. That's the kind of thing you could do in a contract. Say, like, listen, here's the latest offer. If you don't accept it by Friday, it's off the table.
Yeah.
Then what? They take it off the table, and he says, all right, I'm holding in.
That could be the case. That could be the case. That's an ultimatum.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know if they typically like to do ultimatums.
Well,
I have no idea.
Deadlines make decisions, right? Deadlines mean you're going to make someone make a decision. So outside of pulling an offer, what do the Bills have that they could lean on Cook for? So it's all very interesting. And is it a big distraction? Sure, I guess. The Bills are missing half their team with knee injuries. Like,
yeah, who's Josh? He doesn't have his running back right now. He doesn't have, like, five of his receivers.
Yeah.
Christian Wilkerson is getting snaps with Josh.
That's our guy, Christian Wilkerson. So
that's where they're at.
Yep.
It's getting thin.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Give us a ring. Quick point on this, though. DJ in Virginia writes in on the chat, first episode of Hard Knocks should be exciting now. This is not the first episode.
I was going to say, this ain't
this happened yesterday, and the first episode airs tomorrow. So this is not on it. There might be some background about how he is here for his contract, and we will know. Well, then the next episode might be more interesting. But, you know, the one that comes out tomorrow is going to be start of camp.
Yeah.
And what? Injuries. It's going to be KJ Hamler is mic'd up. You know.
I think so, right? They have a quick turnaround on those things, but I don't think 2 days of a turnaround. I don't believe. But episode 2, you only got to wait one more week.
That's right.
Man, appointment television. This is going to be weird for me. A show that's on at a certain time, and you've got to watch it right then and there. Game of Thrones, maybe, is the last show that I watched that was like that.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Appointment television. Here we go.
Because Hard Knocks before, I would just watch after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever watched the Giants one or the Bears one, this feels like 9 o'clock Tuesday. Got to get to it.
Excited.
Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We've kind of run through some of the potential Cook news and what it could ultimately mean.
It's still, though, he's not there at practice yesterday. Is there anybody that believes he would miss regular season games, though? Anybody? Because I would be floored if he missed regular season time. Like, yesterday, of the things that we learned and what happened, I would have more doubt about Khalil Shakir playing week one than I would have about James Cook playing week one. Not playing week one, I should say. And I think Shakir, 4 to 5 weeks, he played through this injury last year. I would believe he's back by week one, too. I have no belief that Cook would miss. would miss games for this.
No, I don't think so either. And does Cook know that? The Bills know that?
Which is kind of what it gets to. What it's interesting what the point of deciding now to hold in would really be.
Well, it's for us. It's to let everybody know.
Yeah.
The only reason he would do it would be for us. If these were closed practices, and I guess he could sit out a closed practice, but still, the whole charade or the whole thing is about it's for us.
Right.
I want everybody to know business. We're still in a business negotiation. Yeah, I showed up. I did my part. I've worked out. I've practiced. And I want everyone to remember business.
That I'm still looking for the deal.
Does he come in today in pads? Or whatever, if they're wearing pads.
Well, he said yesterday that business would be today too.
Yeah.
Right?
Well.
He got asked, will you practice tomorrow? And he said the same thing.
Is his business to now play every other practice?
I mean, like. But at that point, like, what are we doing? We're playing games at that point?
Well.
Like that's more playing games to play games than you just decide, all right, something happened contract-wise, I'm just not here. Like that's not as much playing games. That's just this is my decision. I'm trying to get this money. I'm trying to get this deal. I don't think it's happening the way that this is trending. So all right, I'll be on the sidelines. You let me know when you want to talk. I'm not gonna practice Tuesday and Thursday, and just I think that would get really weird if he were to do something like that. But we already kind of are in a place where it's a little weird.
Yeah, a little bit. 803-0550, our phone number. 1-888-550-2550.
Should put a bet up. Does he demand a trade at any point? Because that ends up being what happens to these guys that want contracts.
That's a move.
Isn't that the next negotiating tactic?
Probably.
I don't know what else next would be.
It is.
If he's that desperate for a deal and wants it that badly and the hold-in doesn't work, then take it from who's done it? Miles Garrett's done it. Trey Hendrickson's done it. Micah Parsons has now done it.
We talked a lot about
Terry
Parsons.
Terry McLaurin has done it.
Friday we talked about Parsons, and pretty much as soon as we were off the air, he demands a trade.
Yeah,
so
right. And a long letter against the team, which is kind of like what Miles Garrett did.
Yep.
None of those guys got traded, by the way. So, you know, again, it can be more of a negotiating tactic, but I wonder if we'll get to that point where we get a report from like someone that James Cook has expressed interest in wanting a deal, and it's not him really wanting a trade; it's just him doing the next step of the. The contract negotiation.
Yeah. Who knows? Hey, I guess
it gets... When's the last time a Bill demanded a trade? The last time a Bill demanded a trade was when?
That's a great question.
Did Bird do it? Jarris Bird? Or was that just a franchise tag?
That was a franchise tag.
There was no trade demand?
I mean, Jabari Greer, did he got... No, I... Last Bill to demand Jason Peters, I guess.
That is a long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
That could be right. That could be.
And that wasn't even really public so much as I don't know if it was public or not. Last Bills player to demand a trade. I don't know that.
Like Lynch got traded, Marshawn Lynch, but he didn't demand a trade, did he?
No,
he just got traded because they had Fred and CJ.
Yeah, that one. I think the Bills were the movers on that.
Yeah,
Diggs is the answer. I don't know that that's so much true. Is it maybe it was the other way around? Like they,
yeah, and maybe there was a little of both. But
little of both.
But even that's not. Even if that is true, like, give me like a Schefter report, you know, at least.
Right.
Like there was no public trade demand from Diggs ever. So you could believe one way or another if he actually did. But like these guys, Garrett and Parsons and McLaurin, like this is out there. Mm-hmm. I'm telling the world that I want to be traded. And I can't remember the last time that happened with a Bill. Quentin Spain? Is that a name? Yeah. It's like such a name. It was like he was a starting guard for the Bills.
He got cut?
He got cut, but didn't he? Maybe not. Maybe I'm misremembering. Again, maybe there's not a good answer to this. Maybe it's been a really, really long time.
803-0550, your phone number. Let's get a call in here. Steven in Williamsville has decided to jump on early. And, hold on a second. We're working on it here. But.
Josh might have
Josh, punch up Steven for us. Uh-oh.
That's why.
We're all over the place.
I'm still here.
Go ahead.
I'm still here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Sweet.
All right. So I have an idea, and I was talking about this with my buddy. Also, love you guys. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I have a theory that Hard Knocks coming in here they're looking for like an angle, right? Every time they're trying to promote something, got something going on, you know, selling something. I personally think that James Cook is playing it, and this is just my personal conspiracy, but he's playing it where Hard Knocks episode coming out on Tuesday. Now he's holding out. Now Hard Knocks has an angle being like, oh, there's drama. There's something going on. They're going to be covering this type of stuff. Because,
like
the Bills agent would have said,
like, here's our chance to strike for the attention.
I think so. I think it was a perfect storm for him, right? Like, he's going to get the national coverage. Millions of people tune into this type of stuff. He played the long game, waited right before the first episode, because Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
This week, yeah. So maybe there was some behind-the-scenes things that he kept that maybe they got, I don't know. And then he came out publicly and then obviously held out himself on practice. But that's the angle for Hard Knocks, because let's be honest, like, the Bills are a very tight ship. You know, they're very close-knit. They're very family-oriented. What was the angle before that? Like, talking about the secondary battle? Like, that doesn't draw views. Now there's this selling point on this entire thing where people are like, can we tune in and see if we can get an insight on this Cook contract issue? So I think the timing is it's too perfect when I look at it from a production angle.
Sure. Well, thanks, Stephen, for this. Conspiracy theory. You know, we'll take it. Do you want to just like get attention? Hard Knocks. How many years has it been on? 20?
20, at least.
How many holdouts have there been public on Hard Knocks? I don't know. I haven't watched it every year. Revis. Who's on Hard Knocks last year?
The Bears.
Okay, and
don't remember anybody holding out.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't remember
I
many.
I don't know that they're. Listen, for the first time, Hard Knocks got itself a playoff team, a good team, and I don't think that they're out here desperately seeking controversy. They're not mad about it. They're going to tell the story of camp, and if camp is an injury, or if the story is injuries, or if it's this, to me, all of this is interesting, but I'm going to go just short of saying, isn't it more interesting that Pelissero said they're not far apart? If there'd been no report of Pelissero saying that, and it's just the same, and Cook sits one day, then you could sit here and tell me, listen, they've told him, buzz off, we're not paying you. Instead, I've got the context of not that far apart. Now, it's possible that, you know, again, when we're talking about these negotiations and all this, and teams love to say they don't negotiate the media, and then it happens. Who tells Pelissero they're not that far apart? One side could say it. Yeah. And when you say it, it makes someone like me think, well, then let's get it done. Mm-hmm. So do the Bills tell him we're not that far apart? And James Cook thinks, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. So.
Right. Do they disagree on what far apart is?
Right.
In the first place?
Right. In this whole conversation, it's been his one tweet about $15 million. I feel like that got so much attention that people needed to kind of get off of that. Like, that's not a hard. You know, if I don't get 15, I'm sitting out the season. When he was asked about it, he kind of even said, I don't know why I wrote that or tweeted that. So would he take 12 and would they offer 10? Is that not that far apart? So the conspiracy, like, I get it. And the attention, the agent, you know, they want to, of course, make it clear what's going on. But to me, that part of it is a really big deal. 803-0550, coverage from training camp here at St. John Fisher University, brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.
James Cook did show up and was fully participating in practice during training camp. Until today, he was asked by reporters repeatedly if he was practicing today, if he was practicing tomorrow, what was going on. Cook continued to say the word simply, business. My understanding of where things stand here is, again, these sides have been in talks for a long time. They have not been that far off, but this is kind of like fourth and goal in the AFC Championship game. Is James Cook going to get them across the goal line? Are the Bills going to be able to do their part to back it up? This is not a situation where these sides are completely breaking down. It does make some sense if James Cook has these contract negotiations hovering over his head that it would make sense for everybody to not have him practicing when he's not completely necessarily locked in solely on football.
And then he goes on to say, we've seen injuries happen.
Uh-huh.
This is good stuff. 803-0550, our phone number. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring. What do you think about this? Like, I've got a couple comments in the chat and a couple comments on Twitter. And I'm just kind of, I don't know, Joe. I feel like I'm over here saying, I know the headline of the story is Cook didn't practice. The rest of it from Pelissero sounds like a deal's close. And even there, this is not a situation where the sides are completely breaking down. It does make some sense if James Cook has these contract negotiations hovering over his head, that it would make sense for everybody to not have him practicing when he's not necessarily locked in solely on football. We've seen injuries happen around the NFL. Doesn't that sound like a guy? Doesn't have to be true. That sounds like a reporter telling the side of the story of he's close, he's not going to get hurt right before he signs a deal guaranteeing him $25 million.
Yeah.
I don't know. And meanwhile, you know, you know how this has gone with Cook. Cam tweets in, I've never seen so much attention on a player who plays 40% of the snaps, whom's replaceable AF, you know what that means, unless you're Barkley or McCaffrey, you're not influencing the win total. You can say that all you want. Pelissero says they're close.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is a part of me, though, that is like, yeah, I'm with you, though, on 40% of the snaps, a little bit replaceable because of the position he plays, and, they're – a realization, though, of like, okay, they're really going to pay this guy. Because that does make sense. That if there's a deal on the finish line, that maybe that is why he's not practicing yesterday. That he doesn't want to get injured right before the big contract comes in.
And if that was the case, just for a moment,
yeah.
What would he say to the question, how come you're not practicing today? What would the answer be?
Well, he wouldn't say I'm signing today. You know, he wouldn't be that upfront with it, and he wouldn't, you know, I guess they could make up an injury. Like, the quad's a little tight or something. He could do that. But, you know, the one word business answer I think can fall under that category as well.
Business.
It's still kind of unbelievable to me that they will pay him. There's something that just makes me think. But here's where I think I'm believing that right now, like, what would the odds tell you today? Like, if odds on James Cook signing had shifted from last week at this time to right now, where would they have shifted to? A deal being more likely,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
That's where I would say, because a week ago, last week, out of my mind. Like, this is over. James Cook is here. He is going to practice. He's going to play this year on the final year of his deal, and we will broach this subject again after the season. Like, that is what my mentality was on James Cook up until yesterday. Right now, I've got, they were close on a deal, and he's holding out, or he's holding in. Those two things together make it sound like, one, they were pretty close, and two, Cook is at a point where, like, he's still pursuing the money. Like, this is still active, and I thought that it was more dormant. And I think right now, him playing on the final year of his contract feels like the least likely outcome.
Right. 803-0550. All right, so we've got Cook. We've got a high ankle sprain for Shakir.
Yeah.
And the injuries at receiver, it's so lengthy, you know. By the way, we'll have Brandon Bean coming up in a little less than an hour. The Bills general manager will be seated with us here at our table at St. John Fisher at 7:30. I tweeted that out last night. Let's just say the replies are they're expecting a show. I don't know that we can deliver the kind of thing that people are expecting, but we'll see. But on the injuries, so Shakir's hurt. Samuel's hurt.
Yep.
Of course, Shavers got hurt and has come back.
Yep.
But, man, it's a lengthy list. Caden Prather is hurt. Josh Palmer didn't practice. So it's Keon Coleman and Elijah Moore and Christian Wilkerson out there.
Even Moore. Moore was out for a
Moore
couple
was
days,
out.
And then he's back.
Alec Anderson is out. Cedric Van Pran Granger was out yesterday. Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp with injuries.
Yeah.
Both safeties missing. So, man.
A lot of them. And a lot of them at receiver. I mean, if Shakir were to be limited at the beginning of the year, or, hell, even miss an opening game, or, like, I don't think that's what we're headed for. But I was with some friends yesterday, and someone asked me, who if he's out, who's his backup? Like, who's the guy that plays in the slot? Who's the guy that plays his role if he is ever to be missing? Because last year, we never really got that tested. He was healthy. He missed one game, I think, early in the year, right? And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
And I said to him, like, I mean, is Curtis Samuel healthy? That's the problem, right? Because Samuel would maybe be my answer. He does some of the yak stuff Shakir does, and he's a guy that's played out of the slot a lot in his career, but I don't know that you can trust him to be on the field, so I guess I'll go with Elijah Moore would be the guy.
Yeah.
If Shakir were to ever miss time, that maybe Elijah Moore, who I thought more of as, like, oh, he'll bump out on the outside because that's where he's needed and downfield speed, but he definitely has played more in the slot in his career. He's done both, but
they are better prepared to deal with Shakir injury than before, right?
Yes.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah,
better,
sure.
Better prepared for it. Yeah.
How many guys could you play in the slot and feel like middle-of-the-field routes? Kincaid does that from tight end, right? And
you'd wonder if they would do it with Coleman finally.
Coleman, everyone seems to think, has that skill set. We just haven't really seen it. He played 7 snaps in the slot
yep.
last season.
Not many.
So you could try Coleman there. Samuel and Moore have both done a lot of it in their careers. Palmer has done it. It feels like, not to say Shakir is... Like, same thing with the Cook comment. Not to say Shakir is replaceable.
No, he's very important.
But I feel like I got a list of 5 guys that can all help fill in if he's out.
He's super important, Shakir. Maybe the way that he's, I don't know about most important, but I like to point out that he gets a lot of engineered touches where
right.
they get him the ball on those quick hitters and try to help get him an opportunity to use the yak skills that he's got. So if he's out, sure, there's the connection with Josh, but then there's the designed touches, do those now go to Kincaid, to Coleman, to Cook, to Josh Palmer, whatever. And 11 personnel, the way they've been rolling out their receivers, when they have 11 out there, it's the 3 receiver sets. It's Palmer, Coleman, Shakir. And if you're going to play a game without Shakir, I don't know if you're more likely to just slot somebody in there.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Or if it's, you know, we're going to play a different formation a lot this week. It's going to be opponent driven as well. We'll get a phone call in here. Mike in Pennsylvania. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Very good.
Good.
Good. Good. Hey, is it a chance that we could trade James Cook, AJ Epenesa, and a couple ones for Micah Parsons? And before we get into that, happy birthday, happy 100th birthday to Marv Levy.
Yeah, happy birthday to Marv. 100 years
100.
Old, honored at the Hall of Fame.
They sung happy birthday at the Hall of Fame ceremony. That was
right.
cool.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I don't think this is in the cards. I think, you know, I trust the Pelissero part of it, that they were close and, you know, that a deal is more likely today with James Cook than it was a week ago. If you're playing Madden, though, like, what does Dallas need? They need a running back. What else what do you want to give them? What are you going to need to give up for Parsons? Multiple first-round picks, absolutely. What do you need to get rid of to make the cap work? AJ Epenesa. So you did a good job of making the pretend trade there.
Yeah.
I just don't think.
Days without Epenesa being traded back to zero.
Right.
We got to set that. We got to make a new clock. It's got to be hours right. without since AJ Epenesa has been traded again.
Yeah. But one, I don't think Cook's getting traded at this point, and I don't think Parsons is getting traded.
Parsons, though.
I mean, I would do that, but I don't think he's going to move.
I don't think he's going to get traded either. And Jerry Jones basically said to Cowboys fans, don't lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
The thing about Parsons that could be interesting to me, and I've seen this kind of this take laid out about the Cowboys, is he's the one with A, the power, B, the platform. He's got a podcast. Like, he's one of the voices in the NFL.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before. Micah Parsons is like an NBA player in the NFL. Like, he is constantly media savvy. He knows what he's doing, and he seems to be in Dallas the guy that's finally calling the Cowboys on their BS to say, this isn't a professional organization, and I'm not going to deal with you. So whether he sits out or if he plays until the moment he can leave, you know, we've fallen for this before, Joe. I've fallen for this before. Miles Garrett writes a letter and says I'm leaving and then signs when the money's there.
Yep.
But Parsons, like, he has an opportunity to just say, like, I'll take your money. I'll take your money, you foolish old man, until the moment you don't have the power over me. And then I'm not going to play for you because I think you're a joke. And that's happened before, right? That's happened. Cincinnati is a team that kind of deals with this with Trey Hendrickson. Maybe he does that. All right, fine. One more year on this deal, and then I'm out of here because I think you're a joke.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones and the way the Cowboys run their organization, plenty of people already feel that way about how they do it. And here's Parsons, who could just finally be the guy that says, like, enough is enough. But I don't think the Bills are going to trade for Micah Parsons, personally.
I bet they want to. I just don't think they can.
There's would they want
how
to.
Would
there's
you, how would there's, you make that count?
There's would they possibly pay the price. I don't.
I mean, they have been searching for him for a decade, haven't they?
Well,
everybody's
been searching for a player that good forever. The question
is,
who's willing to give up two firsts? You know?
You don't think they would give up two firsts for the perfect pass rusher?
I don't know.
They gave up $100 million for a guy that was 10 years older than him.
That's right. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. If you want to give us a ring, coming up, Sal at 8 o'clock and, again, 7:30, Bills General Manager Brandon Bean here on WGR. Jeremy and Joe live from St. John Fisher. All right, I'm ready for you to tell me how the Killers show was.
Oh, so good.
All right, good.
So good.
Glad you had a good time.
So good live. They nailed it. I would say I was a little let down by the Mr. Brightside performance.
Yeah.
It was still good. It was still very good. But I thought they crushed like every other song they did. And Brightside was still fine. It was good.
All right.
They did that right at the end. So first time seeing them live, I would say for the quality, like holding up to what your expectation live performances, because you'll see some bands and some people live that are not nearly as good as like the recorded studio version is, and they were one of the top bands I feel like I've ever seen for that.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Very good. Very
good.
Awesome. Sean McVay says the Rams hope to ease Matthew Stafford back to football in the near future. Yikes.
Oh,
that headline sounds like a retirement headline. Like, let's get you back. Let's ease you back in, Grandpa. Back issues for Stafford. That's tough. Of course, we had the Hall of Fame over the weekend. Ceremonies, including a happy birthday to Marv.
Yep.
Happy birthday, 100 years old, Marv Levy. So we'll get a break in. Wide open on the other side. You want to give us a call? Your thoughts on the James Cook story, which I think is much bigger than just he didn't practice yesterday. I think the reporting from Pelissero is a big deal. We will have a chance to maybe see what Brandon Bean has to say about it at 7:30, among other things, as we're going to get to that. So the Bills general manager will be sitting with us in about 35 minutes. So 7:30, we're slated to talk to him. Sal at 8 o'clock as we continue our coverage here from St. John Fisher University. This is, of course, the final week of Buffalo Bills training camp here from St. John Fisher on WGR.